And good morning and welcome to La Porte Church of Christ. It is December 29th, 2024. We thank you for being here. We're glad you could be here. And I don't know what about you, but I'll tell you what, 2024 kind of flew by. It's amazing how fast time goes by when you're busy. And it was a blessed 2024. And, you know, hope everybody out there, I hope they had a good, happy Christmas. Talked to a lot of people that were planning on spending time with their families, loved ones. We're doing some traveling. We did keep you all in our prayers throughout the holidays, those that were traveling. Just hope you had a blessed time. Before we get started, let's go to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you, Father, for this season. We thank you, Father, for all your many blessings. We ask that you continue to be with the remnant as we step into a new year. We close out the calendar year of 2024 and we step into 2025. We just pray, Father, that the remnant be found faithful, trusting you, putting you first and foremost in their lives. We pray these things in the name above all names, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we're going to do things a little bit different this morning, but got a song. And as I was trying to find a song to play this morning, I heard this message in my office a couple days ago and put this clip out. It's a song, and I'm just going to let Pastor Peters introduce it. This is a good one. I hope you enjoy it.
Well, you're called to be an overcomer, and God may have put some things in front of your life right now to overcome, but if you'll overcome them by faith, you'll be a better man and woman for it, and this song will help you to overcome, and we come in the name of Jesus Christ to overcome this world of sin. Amen?
Amen.
So it is. We shall overcome. Sing it with us.
Jesus.
Our Father in heaven, we acknowledge that we will not overcome.
Of the house of Israel. Today, this day, December 29th, 2024. It's hard to believe, but it is the last Sunday of the calendar year of 2024. We here at the LaPorte Church of Christ welcome all of you here this morning. We're glad that you joined us. And we are going to begin by defining who Jesus Christ, and that's found in John chapter 1. I begin by reading in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And verse 14, and the Word became flesh, dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glories of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And that is the definition of who Jesus Christ is. He's the Word that became flesh. And as you've all heard me say so many times before, if you don't know your Bibles from beginning to end, then you do not know who Jesus Christ is. If you don't understand it, you don't understand the timeline, the covenant, the prophets, the law, you do not know who Jesus Christ is. And if you let every other preacher out there define who Jesus is, not according to the Word that became flesh, then you are following the wrong Jesus. And it's difficult because in Romans it says, faith comes by hearing and hearing of the Word of God. And you need to be careful what you hear. You need to be careful what you put in your mind. You know, because if you already have something in your mind defined, and then you read the Word, and you already think you know the definition or the storyline, and you have a false understanding of it, you miss a lot of stuff. So that's why it's important, as my father used to tell me when I was a young adolescent and a young man, to pay attention to detail. So that is what we like to do here, is to pay attention to detail. Last week when I was with you, we were talking about the real reason for Jesus, or for Christmas, and we just went over some basics, but I got to thinking about it, and what am I going to do for this week? And kind of like that. Focus in on Deuteronomy 28, verse 64. If you have your Bibles, please turn to that with me. You can read it along with me. Verse 64. Now, as many of you know, these are the curses that go along with disobeying God's law, his political system. And these are the consequences for that inaction or lack of action or lack of obedience, however you want to put it. It is a person or a group of people not paying attention to the Word, because as it says in John chapter 1, the Word is God. It's very important to understand that. The Word is God. It identifies who he is. So begin by reading. Furthermore, the Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and from one end of the earth to the other, and there you will serve other gods made of wood, stone, which you and your forefathers have not known. So the consequence of disobedience to the Word that became flesh, and not knowing him, having a misinterpretation of who Jesus is that you will serve false gods. gods that are not from your, that your forefathers and you did not know, it's not the one that's for you. See, this book, this Bible is for Israel. Now, when I first started preaching with you 3 years ago, going on four, we defined that we went through all the three phases of the the three parts that God promised Abraham. Promised him he'd be a great nation and the entire world would be blessed through him and his seed. Now at that time, Abraham didn't have any children. And then the maledictory oath, which was a land contract, and God said that this land will be Israel's forever, and if they were ever removed from it, then may what happened to this animal happen to me. Well, we've had Jesus Christ. He was born. He was raised. Started a ministry. He was crucified. He was buried and raised again. And he started a new covenant. And in that new covenant with that death, what that means is that land is basically, that contract is no longer valid, or it's fulfilled, I should say. And then in chapter 17, God promises Abram, changes his name to Abraham, that his seed would become a multitude of nations. He's going to be their God, and they're going to be his people. Whether they like it or not, it is irrelevant. And then after the Assyrian and Babylonian captivities, that group of people formed a multitude of nations. And as in Hosea, it said they will be known as sons of God. And the people that are responsible for making the world know the name of Jesus Christ is the Anglo-Saxon, Germanic, Scandinavian, Celtic, and kindred people. Those are the Israelites. Those are the multitude of nations. And the reason why they're a multitude of nations is for disobedience. That's all God's plan. But while they were there and before Jesus Christ came, what were they doing? They were serving other gods. They were pagans. They were serving sun worshipers, whatever they were doing. I'm not really too familiar on it. And personally, I really don't care. I don't care what they were doing. What I care about is the new covenant. And the 12 disciples started the church, and they took off like wildfire, and it was said that they were the ones that turned the world upside down. What were they doing? They were changing the people's mind on how they should conduct themselves. And when they lacked sin, or there's less sin, and it forces God to conduct himself in a certain way, pour on blessing. That's kind of my opinion. The more good you do, the more blessings, the less curses. And then if you go the other way, it's kind of like a needle, you know, kind of like a gauge on a needle, or needle on a gauge, or however you want to say it. But if you are born in, we'll come into our time, but you have this fake Christianity called Judeo-Christianity. What are you doing? You are serving other gods. If you believe it, you believe in Jesus, you read your Bible, you believe it, but you believe the narrative that the dirty bird preachers tell everybody, the multitude of nations, that was God dealing with the Jews, the law is done away with. Basically, they robbed God of his identity and Jesus Christ of his identity. So what are you doing? You are serving other gods. Now, in order to get linked back up and get that seal and to get back into that fold, you have to be baptized. You got to repent. You got to know the story. You have to meet the true Jesus. But this, how do you differentiate? You newbies, you You have, see, this is why, and I've said it time and time again, this is why I define who Jesus is and who God is. It's the Word. So that binds me in this ministry to that definition, and we cannot deviate from that. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. Now, we all know, many of us know about Matthew, what is that, 24, I think, where it talks about false Christ and false prophets arising, not to listen to them. You know, we're just going to go a little different angle on it. I'll begin by reading in verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit. So, be cautious at what you believe to be true. Do you remember what I said about bad advice? Causes you to waste your time. And then, even worse, you know what's even worse about believing bad advice? You believe it, and then you teach other people the crappy advice that you got. Now you're wasting other people's time. Now you're a twice-over son of hell. You don't want to be that. So do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit to see whether they are from God. How do we test the spirit to see whether they are from God? Well, do they say God's law, a violation of God's law is sin? Yay or nay? Well, if they say, well, no, the law is done away with, okay, that is a test. And if they say, no, the law is done away with, fail. This is the spirit that you do not need to be listening to. Now that person, what is it? Let me stop right there. When you are baptized properly, when you have the history of the Bible properly orientated in your head, when you understand what sin is, and you are baptized, what do you get? You get the gift of the Holy Spirit. Why? It is because of what you know to be true. It is the proper spirit. It is the godly spirit. It is the Holy Spirit. It's the gift. Why? Because of what's going on between your ears. What you believe to be true, or you do not, what you believe not to be true. I do not believe that Jesus Christ changed and threw a sheet out and said you can eat pig and changed the whole game. I believe that whole thing is about the 10 northern tribes being off playing pagan god lovers, doing whatever, because they're supposed to be God cut off. Peter understood that about the law. But God said, don't say anything I've made unclean. Why? Because of the death. She was released from the law. That, in my opinion, is why God told Peter to go and evangelize them. That makes a little more sense. How did I come to that conclusion? Because I understand the law. I understand what God said about a lot of stuff. If you don't understand any of it and you disregard that as God's identity, you're going to believe that garbage. So test the spirit. Okay, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Well, you have to know, you got to know the word. You just have to. How can you test it otherwise? You can't. If you got a bunch of people performing a bunch of miracles and got a bunch of women in charge of stuff and doing a bunch of crazy delivering and they don't know the word and they say the law's done away with and they don't have any, you know, like the biblical history of the multitude of nations being Israel isn't a cornerstone of their faith, all their works are of no value. They are misleading because you get a positive result, but in the end, it does no good. Good job insurance. You don't really fix anything. It's like giving bread pills, like back in the day in the Westerns. I seen that on Gunsmoke one time. I loved that show. Still do. If I had cable, that would be the show that I watch. But I don't have it. Because many false prophets have gone into the world. So there's a bunch of liars out there. What are they doing? And they are trying to keep people deceived to keep that promise that God said, you will serve false gods. This is why it's important to be educated. By this, you know the Spirit of God. Okay? How do we know the Spirit of God? By what I said, when you're baptized and you have the history properly orientated in your mind, you know who's who, you know why Jesus came back, you know who he set free from the curse, you know that he was the husband that died. So that way the wife was no longer an adulteress. You understand all those facts. These are things that you need to know. These are things that I need to know. These are things that we need to stand on. So that way when we test these people, or they try to test us, or they try to deceive us, we already know. And when you get good at it, you can sniff them out in two sentences. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh is from God. How do you know? Okay, you know what? I'm gonna keep going. This is, okay. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming. And now it is already in the world. So, what do we have here? We have false Christ, false prophets. They say that Jesus is from God. They say Jesus is the Son of God. But how, when in this context, how are they not confessing that Jesus is from God? How do they do that? How do you confess Jesus is from God? And how do you confess that Jesus is not from God? Or from other God? Or from a God where that God said in Deuteronomy 28, you will serve other gods. He says, well, what are the rules? You need to ask, what are the rules? Give me a lowdown on how the mechanics of ones that do confess that Jesus is the Son of God and the ones that confess Jesus is not of the Son of God. The ones that are not of the Son of God have a false definition of who God is. The ones that they say the law is done away with. They're handling the deception is so sneaky. They say the law is done away with. They don't give you the history. They say Jew. I mean, you need to talk to a Judeo-Christian. And they say, oh, a Jew? Well, you know, they get all fired up. They can't even define it properly. They do not have the proper backstory defining God. They have a alternate narrative of God. the great I am. That's what they have. They are, well, they practice Markianism. And they got changed. God didn't change. We all know that he doesn't change. But they practice Markianism. So they say Jesus. They say Jesus is the Son of God. But basically, they define the Father incorrectly. That's what they do. So it's important that you know the proper definition of the Father. It is important that you project the proper definition of the Father. I hope I said that right. But that's like, in my mind, that's the simplest way I can say it. They give a false definition of who and what the Father is. Or you can give a proper one. That is the difference. Let's continue reading. Verse 4. You are from God, little children. How do we know that? Because of what we know in our head. What we know to be right or wrong. What we know to be proper or improper. That is how we know that we are from God. That simple. And have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. It's because your faith is in the word. Your faith is built on the rock, and you have entered it. I have entered it. And I encourage you, that those that are out there that are new, contact the ministry. Order the Abrahamic Covenant by E. Raymond Capp. That gives you a quick outline of all these things that I'm talking about. It introduces you and defines who God is. And it reveals to you the proper Jesus. Do you want to take it farther? Order the greatest love story never told. When you get that in your head and you go along with that narrative, that proper narrative, along in the Bible, and then you realize everything that you thought to be true before, and then when you realize you're back in that corner and those authors are roughing you up, and they're roughing your thought process, and everything that you believe to be true is literally just ripped out from underneath you, well, then you've been introduced to the real God. The real Jesus. Then, so you choose, get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Once you realize who you are and why Jesus came, that's why you are greater, or that's why he is greater who is in you than he who is in the world. It's because what you believe to be true. And it's not like what everybody else does. Now you might be thinking, well, what about the non-Israelites? God has provision for them. I've been over this before. Read the law. I'm not saying that they don't have any hope. In fact, they got a chance to be put higher than the sons of Israel's in the kingdom. But I know they don't. If we as Israelites don't do our job and project the real God and the real Jesus, then nobody has any hope. Verse 5. They are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world. And the world listens to them. And the world listens to them. It's easy to believe. you don't have to do any studying. You ain't got to hold them preachers to the fire. You just got to pay them. You feel good. You feel good about yourself. You feel good about your future. You feel good about your children's future. You don't give a rip what happens to this world because you're not of this world. It's not your home, and it's all a bunch of garbage. You don't have the mentality of generations down the road. What am I doing in order to secure a safe place for my grandchildren to raise their children? You don't have that thought process when you listen to the world. Where do I get these kind of thoughts? From the Bible. Verse 6. We are from God. The one who knows God listens to us. Listen to that. The one who knows God listens to us. Think about that. So this concept, the one who knows God listens to us. So let's just say you start talking with somebody and they know God properly. And they start talking to you. How long do you think it's going to take that individual to recognize that you know what you're talking about? This person is not a follower of a false God that God promised that that Abraham's descendants would follow for disobedience. They're going to know it instantly. Why? Because they know him. You know him. I mean, the first couple minutes might be a little bit jousty and kind of a sword fight a little bit, but once you get stuff figured out, everything's tip-top. You'll know it immediately. The one who is not from God does not listen to us. Just think about that. Somebody that thinks they know, somebody so educated in their Judeo-Christian ways, do they listen? Absolutely not. See, these are the spirits that you are testing. False spirits. Teaching. What are they hearing? Their faith is put into false teaching, or your faith is put into proper teaching. Either way, you're going to believe in it, and you're going to act on it. And there will be results either way. Because I'm not a big, don't get me wrong, I mean, I think it's cool and stuff, but my opinion, the greatest miracle is nobody recognizes the curses. None of the churches recognize the curses. That's a great miracle. Now, if you have somebody get healed and sick, that's awesome. But, you know, it doesn't do them any good if they don't have things sorted out in their head. And then when you do talk to them and they got Judeo-Christian brain, they're not going to listen. They fight. And it is a years and years process to change their mind. It is. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. It is 100% because of the education that you have. It is 100% because of the education you get. Whether it be the real Jesus or the false Jesus. Whether it be good advice or bad advice. Let us teach the word properly. So that way people can be introduced to the real Jesus. So that way people aren't wasting their time. There's nothing more miserable than a wasted life. Verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for God, or for love is from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. What is he talking about here? You love right and wrong. That's it. You love right and wrong. What Pastor Peters always used to say? Give it to me straight. And when people give it to you straight, you end up loving one another. That's a godly love. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. This system that God has, it is to benefit everybody. It is to protect everybody. Jesus was sent to give that system back to Israel, the bride, for protection, to be that husband again. That is what love is. It's taking care of business. Being fair. It's not all squishy, ooey-gooey. Love, that's not what he's talking about. Verse 9. By this, the love of God was revealed in us, that God has sent his only Son into the world so that we may live through him. How do we live through him? By living our lives according to the word of God and not sinning, which is violating the laws of God. That's how we live through him. He is the head. He is the brain. What's the brain? The brain is the word. We are the body. And we function according to what the word allows us to. Be aggressive, step back, whatever the situation may be, it is done by according to what the word says. Verse 10, in this love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be propitiation. I don't even know what that, I can't say that word, forgive me. For our sins. So basically, he paid for our sins. He covered them up. He washed them away. He remembers them no more. Why? Because he loved us. We didn't love him. We were busy being pagan. I mean, think about it. Before you knew God, did you actually love him? Did you love his word? No, it wasn't that you were convicted, really. Uh-oh. Verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God remains in us, and his love is perfect in us. By this we know what we remain. We know that we remain in him, and he is in us, because he has given to us his Spirit. What is his Spirit? It's his Holy Spirit. It is that ability. It's the law planted in our heart. That's the gift that we got. And we can recognize the Spirit in anybody else. Why? Because we know it. Verse 14. We have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. You can run the entire world based on God's law. If that's the foundation, the entire world can be run smoothly. This is how you're going to get the return of Christ, by implementing the law of God and getting rid of the Babylonian happy, mixing the Babylonian law and God's law, canon that, and just standing on God's law. When you do that, Jesus has returned. His kingdom comes. His will is being done. That's it. That's it. If I'm wrong, somebody point it out to me. The reason why I don't think I'm wrong is because we define every Sunday who and what God is. The Word. We define who Jesus is. The Word that became flesh. We know we're His people. We know how we're supposed to conduct ourselves. We know if we promote that political system to other cultures and stuff, that they are able to live in harmony with God as well. What is that? The Savior of the world. Justice for all. Kids can walk down the street and not have to worry about some predator prick in the eye, thorn in the side, coming around. Safety. Verse 15. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God remains in him. He in God. Well, it goes back to what we read to the top. You got to know what's right. You got to have it straight in your head. If you don't, then you are chasing false gods. You're chasing false Jesuses. Verse 16, we have come to know and believe the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who remains in love remains in God, and God remains in him. By this love is perfected with us, so that way we may have the confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, we also are in this world. So if we play by the rules, we ain't got nothing to worry about. That's what it's saying. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear involves punishment. And the one who fears is not perfected in law, in love. Are you doing what's right? Are you conducting yourself properly? If you have fear, then you know you're not. If you don't, you don't have fear, you'd be good to go. Or you're stupid, I don't know. Verse 19, we love because he first loved us. If somebody says, I love God, yet hates his brother or sister, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother and sister whom he has seen cannot love God. Whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God must love his brother and sister, which that goes back to love your neighbor as yourself, the second highest commandment. You got to want the same thing for the neighbor as you do yourself. You want to up him, one up him all the time. And with that, I'm out of time. I hope you enjoyed this morning's lesson. I just sit there and I think, when I read the Bible, like, it really doesn't deviate that much. Pretty cut and dry, you know. And I hope you enjoyed it this morning. And with that, I'm out of time. For those that are his. May he bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, and grant you peace. Out.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Zach. Appreciate that. And we come to the part of our service where we partake of communion. And we're going to do things a little bit different this morning. I got a video that I wanted to share with you for communion. And this is a communion message. Somebody had actually quite some time back asked me if where they could find this communion message. And, you know, that's one thing that the communion messages didn't have titles back then, didn't have titles. And it was one that I just happened to run across and made sure and saved it so I could use it sometime. But it was a message by Pastor Peters, that he'd communion message that he did here from the LaPorte Church of Christ. And it was glad to be able to find that. So did contact the person that wanted to see that and told him that we'd be playing it this Sunday. So I hope this is the one that you were talking about. I believe it was. If you don't have your emblems ready, now's the time to get them ready. Here is, we'll go ahead and go to that video, Richard.
Our Father in heaven, I pray now that your Spirit would lead as we turn our thoughts to the awesome thought that we serve a God that would not even spare, wouldn't even spare His only begotten Son. Oh, Heavenly Father, we know the words that follow that are true. How shall He not then freely give us all things? Oh, Lord, thank you for giving us Jesus and giving us the opportunity to have eternal life and to rule and to reign in the kingdom with Him. What a great price, and what a small return price you expect from us, for us just to gather together on the first day of the week and to remember your Son. And so we do now. And Lord, I've already prayed over the cup and the loaf, that there would be healing when they take of that loaf for your saints. Healing in body, soul, mind, spirit. Cleansing through the blood they drink. Renewal. The world takes its toll on us, Lord, and we're sorry to say that. But we know that you renew us and you revive us, and that we stay fresh and vital and fruit-bearing as we abide in you and you abide in us. And that's done through communion. And as we come to commune with you in remembrance, direct me with words to say that would be fitting this day. In Jesus' name, amen. This is one of those days that I come to the pulpit. I already have mine, but I come and I think, Lord, you're going to have to give me the sermon. Now, the nice thing about a day like that is if it's a bad sermon, I don't take credit for it. You can just blame it on the Lord, because I'm just asking Him to lead and guide me. I do come with a lot of different notes that I've taken, so I know where certain scriptures are, but His Spirit's going to have to guide and direct me to the illustrations and to the thoughts. And I feel like that His Spirit has guided me to share with you a very personal story. And it involves a personal sin of Pastor Peters. You know, aren't you glad that the Lord is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins? And I want you to know there'll be times that Satan will come to you and try to make you depressed, because you'll look back on your life and you say, I should have done this, I should have done that, and I want you to think this way when those things come to your mind, that your God is so great that He will take the mistakes that you've made and He works them for good too. He's working perfectly. And I don't have to have regrets. I forget the past. He's covered it. He's forgiven. Amen. And He's removed the sin as far as the east from the west. Now, I tell you this, at the time I didn't think of it as, but I remember when I first became a Christian, the preacher had brought an illustration about Abraham and how Abraham took his son and offered him on the altar. It's an awesome story. And at the time that I first heard that story, my little boy was just a little, and I told the preacher, and I was sincere, I said, I don't think I couldn't do that. I love my little boy so much. I couldn't do it. I had just been honest. And the preacher says, you know, God never calls on us to do anything until he grants us the grace to do it. And so life went on, and the Lord allowed me to raise up that little boy to be a very fine Christian man. Boy, he was his daddy's right-hand man. If there's ever somebody to back me up on my backside, it was my son. And church was a part of our life, always has been. Coming up this October, I will have been at this pulpit for 33 years. And he was part one that he was. Somebody seen the picture of that little boy, just skinny little guy, scooping sand into the cement mixer that we laid the rock behind here. And church was part of his life. Against the homosexual movement back in the 80s that tried to come into this society, get a city ordinance passed. That's a story that is in the past, and I don't want to go into it in a great length, except to say this, that as a result, the state of Colorado, Gail Norton, she got her rewards, but she got promoted to, what was it, Secretary of Interior. Now she's on the run for corruption. But she was the Colorado Attorney General at the time, and she sent this Jew, Maury Kanizer, who was an assistant Colorado Attorney General, and her little friend, Natalie Meyer, secretary, and they were going to persecute Pastor Peters and make him bow and sign a form because we had stopped the homosexuals from getting a city ordinance passed. And make a long story short, they went against their own rules and this and that. And no, I never was a 501c3 church. And don't you listen to this, as if you're not a 501c3 church, they can't do anything to you. It's still like Stalin says, all power comes out of the barrel of a gun. And one day, I refused to sign their form, and they had been fining me $10 a day for a long time. And that grows up. I had a pretty big fine, some multiple thousands of dollars. And one day, the sheriff's department came in here with 7 vehicles, armed guards, and a moving van, and they seized this church. And at the time, I was down in Denver, Colorado, getting ready to fly to San Antonio for a meeting. And my son got a hold of me. He happened to be there at the airport taking his fiancée back, put her on a plane. She lived back in Pennsylvania. He said, Dad, I just run into him at the airport. He said, Jody's called, left a message, took a page. I took the page for you. And they've seized the church. And I was younger. And I had a little more energy, I hate to say it, and I was mad. And I had, at that time, certain toys in the car, Freudian slip. And I made up my mind what I was going to do. In those days, 25 wasn't nearly as crowded as it was now. I was coming back here. I'd had it. And so I said to him, I said, okay, son. He told me what was going on. I said, okay, son, go ahead and take your fiance to the gate, and I'll take care of it. That was the first time in his entire life he ever disobeyed me. He never disobeyed me. He said, no, Dad. He had read his dad right to a T. He said, no, Dad, I'm not leaving. He said, Dad, I say we do it. I've already called Jim at the ranch, and he's bringing down some long guns. And he says, let's do it. And I looked at him, and this was my sin. Now, I share this with you because I feel the Spirit brought me this illustration to give you this morning. I looked at him, and I looked at his young bride-to-be. And I said in my mind, I am not going to sacrifice my son for that church. Now, I did that. I shouldn't have, but I did. And I'm telling you something, the Spirit spoke to me, and the Spirit said, Spirit's kind of got a personal thing, Peter, calls me Pete. And if you got a name like Peter Peters, you end up getting called Pete from time to time. He said, yeah, Pete, but I sacrificed mine. And it was like a blow to my solar plex. I mean, I grimaced. Because, yes, God sacrificed his son for the church. Now, I should not have said what I did. You don't tell God what you will or will not do. Your son and your daughter is not yours. You just remember that. They're God's, and they be on loan for you to raise them up. They don't belong to the state. They're his. And he'll give them to you as long as he wants. And if he requires them, he requires them. I lost my son at age 33. I've never told you the full story. Oh, I want you to believe. But I remember he said, "Let's do it, Dad." He stood by me, and I made a mistake. But I've been forgiven. You don't say to God, "I won't sacrifice." I remembered he sacrificed his son. He sacrificed. And he said, "The gates of hell will not prevail against that church." And praise God, I found it to be true. We're still here. We're still preaching. We never lost one Sunday. I could tell you a whole lot more in that story. But there was victory in Jesus, and we overcame. And I know that I shall see that boy again. There is more of the story to tell you. I think you want more of the story? One day, I was a moping at the radio ranch, complaining, looking up there on the hill where I buried the boy next to his mama. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, "He's not going to be in that grave long." I'm telling you, that's what happened. But I wasn't too consolatory at the time. I said, "Well, yeah, Lord, but your son was only in the grave for 3 days. Spirit spoke to me and said, "Yeah, but you just remember something. One day is 1,000 years for me." And our Lord was cut off from his son for 3,000 years. Not only did he give me his son so that I could have that he didn't have him for 3,000 years, if you think about it. Our God is so great. Amen. Amen. He requires so little that we would come together in communion time and remember that God so loved us that he gave his only begotten son. Our Father in heaven, we pray in the name of Jesus a prayer of gratitude now as we partake of this communion. Grateful that the love of our God is so great that he would give. And Lord, we remember that gift now. We remember his body. We judge it that it took upon him our afflictions, our diseases. And so we put them right there. Mental anguish, mental illness, physical illness, and all, right? Along with the sins, he took our sins. And we remember all that in communion. And we partake in remembrance. Now, Heavenly Father, as we eat this loaf, grant us all the benefits of communion through it. And those out there that partake with us, in Jesus' name, amen. You may partake. And Heavenly Father, as we drink of this cup, no reason at all is foolishness. To us, it's precious blood that cleanses us, that came from Emmanuel's veins. And we drink it in remembrance with great gratitude. You may partake.
Amen. And this January 1st, 2025, will mark the 25th anniversary from Pastor Peter's son, Monty, passing away. And he was my best friend, and will never be forgotten. Wanted to share that with you. I want to also tell everybody New Year's. I'm excited about the New Year's and some of the stuff that that we have planned. Some of the topics on that I want to start off with at the beginning of the year is knowing who the enemies of Christ are, knowing our enemies. I think that it's crucial to knowing who our enemies are so that we can combat against them. I'm excited about this new year, and I want you to be as well, and wish you all out there a happy new year. God bless you. Thank you for making our efforts here possible. God bless.